This podcast contains strong language and adult themes from the outset.
Patty.
If you had a boat, what would you call it?
Oh, do you know what? I know the answer to this.
What?
Yes.
Hang on. No, this is fucking ridiculous. Yeah. All the questions I've asked you in the past, and you go, oh, God, Pat. Mm. When I was writing this out, when I was thinking of the question, I thought, this is going to throw her. She's going to be like, oh, God, Pat, why don't you? But this is the one thing that you thought about. I know the answer to is, what would your boat be called if you had one?
Yeah, I know. Weird shit, isn't it?
Weird shit. Yeah. Welcome to the menopause, people. Welcome to the menopause.
Well, no, it's not. I think I've always been a bit like that, really.
A bit weird, yeah. Bit weird.
Sort of slightly on the weird spectrum.
So what would it be?
So if I had a boat, it would be called True Romance.
That's shit.
Excuse me, it's got a very that sentimental reason.
Thank you very much. Go on.
So
this is already stupid, this episode. This is already stupid.
We're literally two minutes in.
No, we're 15 seconds in, mate. Oh no, 1 minute. 1 minute 18 seconds.
No, we'd be going more than 15 seconds, perhaps. Yeah.
Beg pardon.
Okay, so this actually goes right back to my early days of when I met Ian.
Right.
So we're talking like a shit long time ago.
We're talking like 40 years ago.
Yeah, about 50 years ago when I met him. There's a film called True Romance. I don't know if you've ever seen the film.
I don't think I have. I think I've heard of it.
It's a real classic film.
Right.
And we watched it together and we absolutely loved the film. And basically, off the back of that, we have quite often talked about if we ever get a boat, we'll call it True Romance because it kind of is a real kind of throwback to our very early courting days.
Mm, that is still shit.
It is, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I think now you've told that story. You're telling that story going, God, I agreed this when I was old, Ange.
Mm.
When I was sentimental, kind, gave a shit, Ange, I agreed to this.
Now I'm
because
actually,
I don't think True Romance is a good name for a boat
for
you.
Oh, I like it. I know, no. I like the name. I've actually seen other boats called True Romance. They're on the
I think you
shit.
Should call yours... What would you call my boat? If I had a boat.
I think I'd just call it Patty.
No, you know what would happen? My boat would have loads of names crossed out from the nicknames you've given me. Because if I'd have got the boat like 7 or 8 years ago, it would have been Chibi Moulon.
Yeah. Actually, we could call your boat Krabby Patty.
Krabby Moulon crossed out. Krabby Rudy crossed out. Krabby Muller crossed out. And then finally you get to Krabby
Patty.
One step on board going, oh God, have lots of different people owned this boat. No, just me.
It's always been mine. Just the names I've had over
the years.
I've
just got lots and lots of different nicknames. Yeah. What would I call yours? I wouldn't call yours True Romance. It's too sentimental.
Yeah, but it's sometimes nice to have a bit of sentimentality, isn't it, Pat?
What have you done with Ange? Where is she? This podcast is not going to work if you start getting sentimental.
Oh, no, I mean, I'm not going to. I mean, it's just a little moment in time.
I mean, this is solely based on your cynicism.
Okay, so what would you call it then? What would you call
my boat? I'd call your boat Shitting Tits.
That's what I was going to say as well.
I would just call it Shitting Tits.
Do you know what? Right, yesterday, Ian was getting right on my Shitting Tits, right?
Was he?
Oh. And actually, I think he was getting on Nell's Shitting Tits as well.
Do you think he was getting on his own Shitting Tits?
I'm possibly, yeah.
Yeah.
But we had to go out to Waitrose. And we just parked up and Nella turns to me, she went, Dad's really, he's in one of those sort of moods today, isn't he? And I went, he is getting right on my tits today.
Why? What was he doing?
I don't know. He's just being like, it's just like, you know, we're talking about stuff and he's like, for instance, right, the Stitch Fix, right, which we've done some advertisings for. Advertisings?
Yeah.
We've done some ads for Stitch Fix.
Yeah.
Now, Nels has done it, and I've just recently signed up to do it as well. I'm awaiting my order.
Lovely.
And so I was, you know, we were talking about, and then he's like, what's that then? What are you talking about? Why are you talking about Stitch Fix? Tell me about it. How much is that costing? We're like, well, it's just like £10. You pay £10, you get, well, so it's not a subscription. You're not paying £10. I'm like, no, you just like, stop asking me fucking questions about shit that I don't have to explain, right?
To you, yeah.
Yeah. So then, you know, that was, and there was other stuff that he was asking about and talking about. God. I'm like, you're really, really pissing me off now.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so she's like, yeah, he's what, and I'm like, yeah, he's really getting my shitting tits. And then as we got out of the car, we carried on this conversation and I went, do you know what? He's so on my tits today. He's bouncing around on them like they're fucking trampolines. But in that moment that I'm having a bit of a rant, apparently someone walked past me that I knew, but I didn't know they were there. And it was like, I think it was someone that wouldn't expect me to be talking about bouncing around on shitting tits. So I had a moment of thinking, and I still to this day, I don't know who it was. She couldn't remember who it was.
Still to this day. It sounds like this happened about 8 years ago. Yeah. It only happened at the...
Yesterday.
Still to this day.
Yesterday. Still
not
to this
got
day.
To the bottom.
I don't know who that was.
Now, Ange, do yes. you think that Ian was so incessantly getting on your tits yesterday because you were still pissed from Friday night?
No,
We have had a role reversal. You were a smashed patty.
Oh my gosh.
On
I was
Friday
more than
night.
Smashed. I was absolutely.
No, look, we don't condone drinking absolutely incessantly and getting this drunk. It doesn't happen very often, but no. Ange was heavily intoxicated.
I don't even know why or how.
But do you know what thing. I think we've really got to get down to? For anyone that follows Ange on the gram, if you don't, go and find her. She's an absolutely brilliant follow. But if you do follow her, you will know that often Ange getting drunk often gives her the confidence to do more talky stories. Whereas I'm just like, I'll do talky stories, drunk, sober, whatever. Ange finds her own a little bit more.
Yeah.
And it's become a tradition that after a heavy night drinking, or just a night of drinking, not necessarily heavy.
Yeah.
Ange will do what we have lovingly called the ham ram.
The ham ram.
And on the Friday daytime, Ange and I actually had a conversation and I said, make sure you've got ham. And she said, oh yeah, I'm going to have to go to Waitrose. Tesco, actually. That's your favourite.
Yeah, Tesco, your favourite. Yeah,
yeah. And get some ham. So I've got a hat. So we were all prepped. Did she do a ham ram? Did she bollocks?
I don't even know. I don't even recall getting home. I don't recall
Ange.
Getting in. Honestly, I mean,
Ange.
Thankfully, I was with, you know, my fanny flaps, as we like to call ourselves. Shout out to Rach Hardy. Oh no, I'll not say her full name. Shout out to Rach. Actually, I'm going to do that again. Shout out to Hardy, Fisher, and Riley, who basically got me home because in our chat on the Saturday morning.
Yeah,
I literally was like, please, can you tell me what happened? Because I cannot remember a shitting thing. I can't remember. The last thing I remember is we left this Indian restaurant and then the rest, I can't remember. Apparently we went to this pub and then we went to this other pub. And yeah, I just can't. The whole thing is, it's like I have been lasered by the Men in Black.
Shit.
Yeah, there is no recollection.
Well, I had a lot of messages on Saturday. I had a specific message from someone who said she didn't even give us a cheese string.
I know.
No ham, no cheese string. You know, to be honest, Ange, I think we're getting into Boris realms here because you knew the rules. When you signed up for the ham ram, you knew that after a night of drinking... And I'm not having any of this. I didn't know I was expected to do a ham ram. I didn't know I'd been out drinking. I didn't know.
To be honest, I've... This has actually been news to me that the ham ram is such a big thing.
Because people love the ham ram. We all live for it. We all live for it. We love it. It's become a thing.
Well, I am deeply, deeply sorry.
When we do any kind of like live event or book signing, there's going to be packets of ham everywhere.
Maybe my boat should be called the ham ram.
Oh, that's it. That's it. I'm actually going to call mine Smashed Patty.
Smashed Patty and the Ham Ram.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. Much better than True Romance. I mean, bollocks to that.
Absolutely bollocks.
We've just got to give a slight nod for anyone who's been here from the beginning and has listened for a long time. I think we're all over the moon to see that Vowo is back.
Vowo! I haven't watched it,
but I had so many messages on Saturday night saying, are you watching? We were. Matthew and I were watching Stay Close on Netflix. If you haven't watched it, watch it. It's amazing. But yeah, I got so. Are you watching Vowo? I had voice notes from people and everything. I'm watching Vowo.
Also, I just want to. We had a message in off the back of last week's podcast, which was called A Male Karen.
A Male Karen.
And we had a big chat about Costco, your Costco visit, and this and the other. Had a great message from Caro on Gram.
Right.
She said, First of all, just wanted to say that I've listened to the podcast since the very beginning and it always makes me laugh, so thanks. Aww. I wrote to Patty in the early days to ask what you thought about my husband leaving his half-eaten fruit in the shower.
Oh, this woman!
Yes!
Yes, this woman!
Yes, so if you don't know about this chat we had, I mean, this has got to be like series one?
I don't know, but that was brilliant. That was brilliant.
We have a big chat about that.
About eating fruit in the shower.
Eating fruit in the shower. Yeah. I also think it's great that Caro has stuck around.
Yeah, me too.
Isn't it?
Me
That's really too. Quite promising.
Yeah. Love that.
So she said, I wrote to Patty in the early days to ask what you thought about my husband leaving his half-eaten fruit in the shower and thought you'd like to know that he continues to be an utter dick about it.
Yeah, I mean, but that I is digress. Outrageous.
It is. I went to Costco for some salmon fillets and came out with a canoe. Which I was like, that is brilliant.
That sums up Costco.
It does, yeah.
Doesn't it? Do you know what, Ange?
What's that? Are you eating, Pats?
I've just put a little Jakeman's in because I've got a bit of a cough.
That was a bit silly, wasn't it? We're recording a podcast. We're actually just about to start talking about why Wild is so great.
Yeah, but do you know what
Wild is?
Can I tell you something? I am so pleased Wild are back this week with another, we're doing another read for them because I am fully into finding a natural deodorant that actually works and that has a fully sustainable design.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm new to this world, so I need to kind of know a bit more about it. And I mean, I've done a bit of my own research.
Well done.
So I've kind of figured out that it's like super convenient. It fits through your letterbox. There's no need to like worry about not being in if
not
they try to
there.
Deliver it, all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It is aluminium, paraben and single use free plastic.
I mean, that's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you get the aluminium case.
Yes.
That is yours for life.
Life.
And the little things that the deodorant come in that you then put into that case, the plastic, the coating around those is fully biodegradable. So there's no single-use plastic in this deodorant at all.
At all. Yeah. Yeah. And I believe it's vegan and cruelty-free.
Yes.
Yeah. And you can customise your orders. You can choose your perfect case and your scent combinations.
Yeah.
And there is a range. A range of colours, a range of scents.
The
scents. Huge. The scents. They smell amazing. Also, you can choose your plan. You can either go with a subscription option, which is £12, and you get one case and one refill, or you can do a one-off purchase for £25, which is one case and three refills, or you can go with the full Monty, which is £32, one case and five refills.
Did you also know that you can now find Wild in Sainsbury's Boots and Waitrose?
Can you?
Yeah, you can actually find them
in the Waitrose.
In the Waitrose.
Wow. Okay. Well, I think even more so that you all need to get on board with the Wild and give it a go.
And we have got a 20% discount for our listeners,
which is amazing.
Absolutely amazing.
Free shipping in the UK with 100% satisfaction. And to basically purchase yours, you go to their website, which is wearewild.com, and you use the code FUNNY, which is in capital letters, FUNNY20 at checkout, and you'll get 20% off your first Wild deodorant purchase.
So go wild today and get yourself this natural, refillable deodorant that genuinely works. And shall we go into...
I think we should.
Okay, so this is a exclusive acoustic version of a very dear jingle to all of our hearts. Ange nailed multiple jingles last week. We thought we'd strip it back. Ange, when you're ready.
Okay. Urban Dictionary. Urban Dictionary. Urban Dictionary. Urban Dictionary.
Now, we have done that for the people, haven't
for
we?
For the people. Done that for the people.
Because lots of people said they wanted to see your face whilst doing the Urban Dictionary.
Yeah.
Well, the reason that we did that is because we're recording this segment this week for the what, Ange?
For the socials!
On your socials! So if you don't follow Finding the Funny on Instagram, go and find it.
Yeah.
And this little snippet will be up there.
Mm. You can see my face doing the whole Urban Dictionary.
Okay. So do you want to know it this week?
Yes. Hit me, Patty.
A beef walk.
A beef walk?
Beef walk. It's actually just beef walk.
Beef walk.
Beef walk.
Is it something to do with, like, you're going, it's a late night going out to get beef? Like, you're really hungry or something?
Like a ham ram.
Yeah. Like a ham ram, but a beef walk.
This is going to crack you up. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Going outside or away from a group in order to fart with less consequence. Johnny, where did you just go? Steve, I had to go for a beef walk, man. I had Nando's for lunch and it gave me peri peri farts.
Oh my gosh.
I have done so many beef walks in my life.
Same. Yeah, same.
As soon as somebody sent me that, and as soon as I opened
it, that is so funny.
I absolutely cracked. I can't say the meaning of it without laughing.
Beef.
Away from a grave to fart with less consequences. Knew instantly that you would find that. And look, it is. We have bought something to everyday life for people here.
Yes. Well, you know, I brought something to my own life.
Honestly, I've got to go for it. You could say in a group, yeah. I've got to go for a beef.
Just got to go for a quick beef.
I also love the description. Where did you just go? I had Nando's at lunchtime. I got peri peri farts.
Honestly, that is so good.
How many times do you think you've done a beef walk?
Oh, I beef walk probably most weeks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Do you know what? I would beef walk before when I worked in an office.
For sure. Yeah.
There was a lot of beef walking. Mm. A lot of just getting up from my desk randomly. Not even going to get a drink. I might have just made a drink.
I tend to do a lot of beef walks when I'm in town.
Well, yeah, but we've had this discussion before, haven't we? You fart a lot in a paper chase, in a
bookstore,
in a card shop.
Yeah, yeah.
But that, I think, is different to being with a group and thinking, oh, God, it's brewing. This is, and I don't know if it's going to be loud. I don't know if it's going to smell. Like, new friendships, you know what I mean? Like, you know, Matthew
feel quite comfortable.
New friendships. You know, I made a couple of really close new friends last year and... You know, there.
Have you been beef walking around them then?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It takes me a long time to fart in front of someone. It like genuinely, I can't poo in public. I get the poo fear.
Yeah. I mean, I don't. Yeah, I'm a bit like you. People I feel really comfortable with, I can fart like a trooper and I don't worry about it. People I don't know so well.
Oh,
I'm like,
I beef walk a lot.
Yes. Then I would have to be doing a lot of beef.
I'd have to, do you know who would find it impossible to beef walk?
Margs.
Well, cannot hold on to her buttocks.
She's
for
got
love.
No she control.
She could be with the Queen.
She has got no control over her bowels.
She wouldn't be able to beef walk.
No, she's
screwed.
Yeah, I mean, Margs is quite incredible with her wind.
Oh, God. And
isn't
they never
she?
Really smell.
No. The volume and the power.
No, but no smell.
Yeah. She does produce massive wind.
But I also hate when I used to work in an office. If you like, if you've got to do a poo at work, I know we've discussed mm-hmm, this before, mm-hmm. but if you've got to do a poo at work, mm. and a couple of the offices I've worked in, there's only been like a disabled toilet, which is for everyone.
Oh, shit.
So I remember many a time opening it opening the door just a tiny bit just to check, and yeah. if there was no one there, quick, out, shut the door.
Run. Yeah, run. Like, run. Get away. That was not me. I did not drop that.
I've not been near the toilet.
Yeah.
I'm getting out of here.
Yeah.
Have you ever beef walked and you thought you've gone far enough and it's really loud? Because that has happened to me. And I thought, oh God, that group of people that I didn't want to hear that.
Well,
have definitely.
I mean,
heard.
Is there, I don't know if there's an equivalent, it's probably not an equivalent for like burping, is there?
No.
No, because your burps don't generally smell. But before we came on for this to record today, I totally forgot that I'd already joined the chat, plugged myself in, my mic was on, all the rest of it.
Ready to go.
Went to let Luna out and just did this massive belch.
And then Joe said, did someone just burp?
Did he say that? I didn't hear him say
that. Joe went, I just joined, because I was a couple of minutes late, and I just joined. Joe was like, hi, Patty, you all right? Yeah, fine. Then he just went, did someone just burp?
I literally did the burp and it was like a big, I mean, you know I can burp.
Oh, you can burp.
And
mate.
It was this big burp. And as I walked back to my desk, I thought, shit.
Do you know what though? One of the funniest moments we've had is a couple of weeks ago before Christmas, do you remember? You farted on the live. So Ash and I, every Wednesday, I knew this segment would descend into.
Oh my gosh.
Joe just said about your burp, it was Homer Simpson-esque. I knew this segment would descend into chaos. A few weeks ago before Christmas, oh. Ash and I were on the line. Ash farted and didn't think anyone heard, and we all heard it.
The thing was as well, I did it and then went, oh. And then went, no, everyone's probably just heard that.
And in the comments, everyone was like, yeah, we all heard it.
That's the thing, though.
You can't do a beef walk on an Instagram Live, can you?
You can't, no.
You've got to stick around.
You've got to do it and take it, haven't you?
I'll do it.
I actually think, I am so windy. I actually think if I had no way of being able to kind of release wind, I would actually explode.
Oh, it gives me tummy ache.
No, see, I don't get any tummy ache.
Oh.
I am never bloated.
Oh,
It is literally just air that seems to be caught up
honestly,
in my body.
If I'm with people that I don't feel comfortable farting around, as soon as I get in the car, I've got to release it.
That's
because
Joel.
I get such bad
Joel
tummy
does that
ache.
Loads.
Oh, yeah. God. It really affects me.
Yeah.
But there are limits for people. That I am very self-conscious about that. I don't like it at all.
What? You don't like what? Farting?
Farting in front of people. Unless I'm really, really close to them.
Yeah.
Like, I've known them for years. Like, yeah. I can count on one hand the amount of like groups of people, not people, because obviously when I'm with all of you lot and mum and dad are there and James
and that are
there. So all those people, but like groups of
that
I would feel comfortable.
What about when you're with like your really best mates? Shalida and
Mel. And Mel, yeah, I can do it in front of them. No,
right.
Absolutely no probs. Yeah. No probs whatsoever. Yeah. Obviously so, Moridy.
Obviously at the moment still not in that place with the new buddies.
No.
No.
No, I am. I feel very beef walk-esque.
Yeah, you got to do a lot of beef walking. Don't you find it quite liberating though when you get to that point? You're like, do you know what? I'm just gonna let
sort
it go.
Sort of, but then I do also think like, oh God, like it's changed now, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but surely it's changed for the better.
Mm.
No more beef walking. You can just play.
I quite like a beef walk actually. Now I know it's got a name. what has been getting on your shitting tits?
Right. I had a few in my bag for this week. And right. I was like, what should I go for?
What should I bring?
And yeah. then the decision was kind of made for me.
Right.
Right. Because just before we came on this podcast, I thought, you know, I'm going to make myself a quick brew. I'll have a brew. Normally I have a bottle of water. I thought, I'm going to have a brew today. Well, I have made myself the shittiest cup of tea.
Oh, and
I have ever made.
And then
I was like, that's really getting on my shitting tits. And just the whole thing around shit tea. And
now this is hard for me to get involved with.
You're not a big tea fan, are you?
Well, I'm not a tea drinker.
No. Well,
you know, I wouldn't even say I'm not a big tea drinker. That gets on a lot of people shitting tits, I think.
Yes,
when you get to a certain age and you don't drink tea. Yeah.
I mean,
like, I'll go to somebody's house and they'll be like, can I get you a tea? Or have you got any squash?
Yeah. I mean, it's like you're still five. Isn't it? Oh, would you like it in a sippy cup?
Yes, please. Give it in a beaker. Give it in a plastic beaker. Actually, if I do come to your house and you give me a squash, give it to me in a plastic beaker. I'm incredibly clumsy.
Yes,
I will probably smash the glass. Yeah. I'm a smashed patty in other ways when it comes to
when it comes to squash.
I actually think I was meant to be Greek.
Why do they not drink tea?
No, they do like plate smashing and stuff.
She put in the
Christ.
Chat. Christ. I thought it was like, Greeks don't like tea.
You know, if anybody from Greece listens, can you settle this? Do the Greek like tea? Oh my God. That is probably one of the funniest things you said. Podcast. And you could tell you were really laughing, but then the seriousness of your voice. What, don't the Greeks like tea?
Oh my gosh.
Oh God, that is hilarious.
Yeah, but what, you must make Mardi tea. You drink squash.
I make a banging cup of tea. I've never made a cup of tea for somebody and them not say to me, oh, that's a really good cup of tea, that. It's because all my fucking life, I was like Anthony from the royal family. Really put the cat. I was called Two Teas Trudy at one point. That's what Dad used to refer to me as.
Yeah.
I was basically Anthony, Lurkio, put the kettle on. Lurkio, you're making a brew. Where I'm my mouth's dry over here. He's putting the kettle on. Two teas, Trudy. I made tea from about the age of 8.
Yeah. Yeah, but then I've always made a lot of tea, but I don't know whether I'm like losing my tea skills.
Well, do you know what I think makes a good brew? And I don't drink tea, but I know this for a fact. Mm. What people make the mistake of doing is they pour the water onto the tea bag, they squeeze the tea bag, and they get rid of the tea bag. No.
Oh,
you pour the water on, then you put your milk in and you let it brew like you would if it was in a teapot, because you would let a tea bag brew.
Mm.
So what people do is they pour the water on.
You put the milk in. Say it to me again.
You've got your mug. You've got your mug.
Yeah.
You've got your tea bag in it. You pour the boiling hot water on.
Yeah.
You then put the milk in.
Right.
And then you squeeze and you brew the tea with the milk in. Because people take it out too quickly and then they by accident tip too much milk in.
Well, that's what I did.
Well, that's the thing. So you put your water in. Stir it, you add your milk, you then remove the tea bag after you've added the milk, because you don't brew it. Like, if you think about tea in a teapot, it brews and you pour it when you know the colour you want it before you add your milk. People don't do that when they make a cup of tea.
No.
They remove the tea bag too quickly, put too much milk in, and then it's fucked
and
then.
It's shit.
You're done. You're out.
I mean, I've had one sip of it and I was like, that is shit.
Yeah.
You absolutely fucked that cup of tea.
Yeah.
I even had to go back and do a sort of double dunk of a tea bag.
You have got to put the milk in before you remove the tea. I'm not saying milk in before the hot water. No, that is not the way you make a cup of tea.
No, absolutely not. No.
No.
Whoever's doing that, you're even more dicking around with tea.
Well, that gets on my shitting tits and I'm not even a tea drinker.
Exactly. Yeah.
But you've got to put your milk in before you remove your tea bag. It's the only way you can get it brewed properly.
And I think it's that thing of like, when you go to someone else's house and they're like, do you want a cup of tea? You say, yeah. And then you like take one sip of it and you're like, no. Well, this is a Tesco owned tea bag you've used.
Oh, Andrea, we will not have that. That's
no, because
I Yorkshire tea, if you want to sponsor us, we'd happily take it.
That is my tea bag of choice. Either a Yorkshire tea or a Twinings English breakfast.
Now, what do you think about the fact that Yorkshire Tea have bought out like jam and toast tea and stuff like that?
No, you shouldn't be dicking around with it. Why are you dicking around with that?
No. I reckon I would quite like that.
You would, because it was probably quite sweet.
Yeah, it tastes like squash. I wonder if I could go to Yorkshire about bringing out a squash-based tea.
I think the only person that would buy that, though, would be you.
Maybe.
I don't think anyone else is going to be interested in squash-based teas.
No.
Also, I mean, you know, I don't really think... Yeah, you get all these like infusion teas and shit now, can't you?
Well, look, I like a peppermint.
I know. See, I'm, yeah, I don't
I love a peppermint and I love a chamomile.
Oh, I can't stand chamomile.
Oh, I love
it. Tastes like
a
bloody flowers.
No, I love a chamomile before bed.
No, an Earl Grey. I mean, Margs.
Oh, I love an Earl Grey. No, that would, if I had a cup of tea, if I went to somebody's house.
Earl Grey tastes like perfume.
No, I love an Earl Grey.
It's disgusting.
Disgusting.
Yeah. Well, well, it really pissed me off that I couldn't make myself a decent cup of tea. And then I just thought, you know what? There have been times I've gone to other places and someone's made me a tea and it's been absolute dog shit.
And when somebody made, even, but you know, that's the same, you run the same risk with squash. Because how people have squash is very,
actually.
Very different. Yeah. Now, Marty has it with like half a bottle of squash in it.
Disgusting.
So strong.
No,
makes
me feel
sick. No.
Yeah.
Other people
put bit of squash.
Oh, other people just put like no, but not so much. You can't even see the squash at the bottom.
You can't even taste it.
No, you've got to have a midway. There's a midway point.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of squash anyway.
No, you're not a fan of squash. Joe said, when I was a kid, my friend's mum used to dilute fresh orange juice. No, that is ridiculous.
Well, I know actually a lot of people do that so that it's not as sweet, don't they?
That's ridiculous. Get out is what I say to that.
Madness.
Get a lot.
I mean, Joe's actually called that madness.
I agree.
Madness.
And I think Suggs would have a huge opinion on that.
Yeah.
I definitely think he would write a song about that.
Did it. I mean, madness. I didn't ever really like them.
What?
No.
What?
No. They're too...
What? That is ridiculous.
No, they're too... What is that? What is that genre of music called? Joe?
Joe?
No, I'm asking Joe because Joe will know.
It's called it's called like scat, isn't it? Like
scar.
Scar that's
music.
It. Scar, that's the one.
What is it called? One. Scar?
I loved the fact that what is that music called? No point directing that to Patty. Joe, you're the only one with a brain cell around here. You even knew a few episodes ago that muted swans didn't mean swans that didn't quack. You must be really fucking bright. Because us two went down the train off. What? They don't quack.
I was actually
my cheeks are right.
I was actually talking to Margs about that yesterday. Margs is doing a lot of podcast catch up at the moment.
Yes, she is. Yeah,
and she said to me yesterday, she was like, "Ange, I listened to that episode when you were talking about the mute swans."
I mean that.
She was like, she just kept thinking, "Shut up, shut."
Mum would have been really embarrassed.
I think she was. She was like, "I can't believe they actually saying
thought
that
they didn't
the
quack.
Swans don't quack."
Yeah,
yeah.
She's only saying that now. She would have thought the same thing in the moment.
Exactly.
She's only saying that now because Joe pointed out to us, pointed out to us that actually we were fucking fake.
Yeah, I was never a fan of madness and Scar.
No, I love a bit of madness.
Oh, no, it just gets right. That, I mean, that can go in shitting tits, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
You're going to piss off a lot of people, Ange, because there are some diehard madness fans out there.
It's also like... The only way you can dance to songs like that is literally elbows out, knees up, knees up, knees up. It's like, you can't, so like you bring any other move to that sort of thing.
Just a really bizarre, yeah, we should have been doing it. Just a really bizarre walk.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You just like walk around the show, picking your knees up. Elbows out, hands out, slide to the side, like a sort of cockney bit. It's just that, isn't it?
Anyway, your shitting tits this week was tea. But actually, tea. It turned out to be ska music.
Yeah. Tea and ska music.
We had a double combo.
There.
One on each tit there. Nice.
Yeah. Bouncing around. Yeah.
Bouncing around.
Right, so Pats, we've had a great dickish behaviour in.
Very good.
Haven't we?
So, very good.
This came in from Madeline on Gram. And she says, when you are having a conversation and someone else comes over partway through, and instead of silently observing until they get what the convo is about, they interrupt multiple times to ask questions about what you're speaking about. Dicks.
Right. This is brilliant.
This is very good.
But there's an extra extension for me of this.
Mm.
It's when they come over and they think they figured out what you're talking about. That pisses me off more. So you're having a conversation with someone and someone else walks into it and they go, yeah, I know. Well, I said that to Karen last week. No, we're not talking about Karen. Oh, sorry. I thought from what you were saying. Oh, okay. So then they shut up and you think, right, they're going to be quiet now. And you go back, you sort of turn, make eye contact at the other person. Yeah, and you carry on, and then they go, oh, yeah, no, I know. You're not talking about Karen, are you? Talking about Jenny? No, we're not talking about Jenny, actually. Oh, right, sorry. I thought it's just that happened to me with Jenny a couple. Well, that's not what we're talking about. All right?
So maybe just leave.
Yeah.
Leave the conversation.
Just wait until we're far enough in, and we go, what do you think, Susan? What do you think? Like, don't come over and say, oh, yeah, I know. Well, that's what Paul did to me. What? No, we're not talking about that.
Do you know who's bad at this?
I know.
Margs. Margs actually gets quite a lot of FOMO.
Oh, if mum doesn't know. So when we went for a roast at mum and dad's on Sunday night, right?
Nice. In yesterday.
Yeah. So yes. Mum said, this was the question mum asked me.
Mm.
So what's going on with anything then? And I said, what? She said, what's going on with anything, the podcast? I said, what do you mean? Have you had any of those meetings? And I looked over at Mal, and Mal is frowning, shaking his head.
Which is a classic Mal response.
And I said, what do you mean? Oh, you know, like any more like people, any more meetings, any more sponsors. Like, I was like, oh, we've got a few people that have sponsored us now. It's really nice. Like, it's just ticking along. All right. Well, I don't know anything. What?
If there was anything to know, Margs, we'd let you know.
I mean, do you want us to send you the scheduled list?
Do you want to be copied in?
We've got coming up till the end of February.
Yeah. Do you want to be copied in on all communications?
Yeah. Do you
so
just
that you
want
are
us
across
to...
it all?
But she has so she gets bad FOMO, doesn't she?
She does. Yeah.
Like you know, if we're talking about Instagrammer.
Yeah.
Who's that? She's never heard of.
Yeah. Oh, you won't know of her, Mum. No. Who is it? Just tell me who it is. Well, it's Jeff Linton. Jeff Linton. Is that his mom?
She did exactly the same with Ash and Chels, didn't she?
Yeah.
We were talking about how much we loved them and how much, if you haven't listened to that episode, go back and listen to our one with Ash and Chelsea. It's brilliant. But we were talking about how much we loved them and how much we loved doing that record. And she said, who? I said, Mum, just some really like well-known people on Instagram. They've got lots of followers. We had them on. Well, who are they? So then I said, Ash and Chels life stories. Like, really, to throw her off. And she was like, what? I said, that's their Instagram handle. I'm Ash and Chels. Well, I don't know who they are. No.
That's what we tried telling you. We tried telling you at the start, Mark. But you had to know.
And that is annoying, isn't it? Like, if you walk into a conversation, you don't know what somebody's talking about, just listen or walk off.
Or go. Yeah. Yeah, you turn up and they're having a good chat. Either just wait around and see if at any point you can be part of that conversation.
Yeah.
And if you can't, just go and find someone else to talk to.
Don't go. What's that? What did they say? Who said that?
Jenny said that.
Oh. Yeah. But why did she say that then? Because I thought you and Jenny were mates. Yeah, well, then you've got to go back through the whole thing.
What about people that, like you say you've done something and then they say they've done 20 of those things.
My God, one-uppers.
Those people, one-uppers.
We've talked about those before.
Have we?
Yeah, you're one-uppers. I've been to Tenerife, I've been to Eleven a Reef.
Yeah, that.
Fucking hell. Yeah.
That's another thing, isn't it? You're just like, you know, you're having a conversation with someone, you're having a nice chat, you tell them about some place you visited. Oh, well, yeah, they've been there. They actually own that place.
Yeah, they've not just they own it.
They run it. They go there 5 times a year.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, great. I'll just not say any more now then.
It's also like when you share with something with somebody that's really deeply painful. This happens a lot when you're trying for a baby, actually.
Mm.
And you're like, you know, yeah, we've been trying for like, you know, 8 or 9 years and it hasn't happened. And there's always one person that goes, yeah, I know what that's like. It took us 2 months to get pregnant. Fuck off. Fuck off. Fuck off. You don't have to say that it was like that.
No.
You can just say, oh, God, that must have been. You don't have to go. You know, it's like when you say, oh, yeah, I was in A&E last night, really badly broken my leg. Oh, you broke your leg. Yeah, I stubbed my toe this morning. Fuck off. I know how you feel that you're in a cast from foot to above your knee because this morning I ripped a nail off. I had to put two plasters it took to stop the bleed. Fuck off.
So it's all that shit is very, very annoying.
Annoying.
And very dickish.
So we're coming to the old don't go there
don't go
section.
There. Serious.
We'd give a little bit of a what I called a well-being check-in. Did you like
very
that?
Nice. Yeah, I liked that, that well-being
well-being check-in.
Yeah, yeah.
So, how are you finding therapy, Andrea?
Yes. So I obviously kept going right up to Christmas. Had a bit of a break over Christmas.
How did you find the break?
I actually appreciated that break actually.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've gone. I feel like going back to Liz, it's weird that I feel like I'm coming back to her with a lot more stuff. And right. I don't know whether it's like having a bit of a break has kind of, I don't know whether I've maybe thought a bit more, maybe I've almost subconsciously thought about other things and not really, like I was saying to her, I went last Friday and I was saying to her that I'm actually not, I'm not very good at verbalizing how I feel or what's going on. Like I was thinking when I was talking to her, I haven't really said very much to you about any of it.
To me or to her?
To you, as in Patty, you.
Yeah, no, you haven't, no.
No. And it wasn't until I was sort of verbalizing that to her that it kind of dawned on me that I haven't really said much to anyone. Obviously we've talked a bit on here, but I keep it very kind of, you know, I'm not going to go into it's a great detail about anything, but and I think I'm really beginning to learn a lot about myself and how I communicate with other people, which is not very good. That's what I'm identifying. But I think again, because I was sort of
it's not that it's not very good, and I think we've got to get away from that. It's become your coping mechanism.
Yeah,
it's the way you've coped with life, and anything that we incessantly do, it's not about good or bad. It's about what it's about reflecting on what has become something that isn't healthy for me to cope with life. This isn't healthy.
Yeah,
and those things that aren't healthy become like a pressure cooker because it's not a healthy coping mechanism, and then it explodes. And that's what you've got to. It's just about saying, God, some of the ways that I cope with life aren't particularly healthy for me or those around me.
Yeah,
and I need to perhaps tweak the way I do that rather than, oh, I'm not very good at it.
Yeah, I know, and I think that's because she was sort of saying to me, you know, and obviously she's gotten to know me over the last few weeks and is obviously, you know, making her own kind of evaluations and picture and understanding me. And one of the things that she sort of said is that probably all your life, Ange, you have just suppressed how you feel about things.
Absolutely. You know, you're an internal processor.
Right back to sort of, you know, childhood. And she said that's not, you know, it's not a reflection on, you know, your parents.
No,
it's just how you, and she gave a really, she talked about, they did this thing with Professor Winston. I can't remember what they call it now, but it's basically they followed people for like years. They started with them at
Child of Our Time.
That's
the thing
one.
That he's
that's
the most famous for. Yeah.
Yes.
Lord Robert Winston did A Child of Our Time. It's absolutely amazing.
And they did this bit with these children, and they would take the child to some sort of, you know, set up, and they would leave the parents would take them, or parent, and leave them with a child carer.
Yeah.
And the parents would go away just probably for, like, you know, 10 minutes or so, yeah, and then walk back into the room.
Yeah.
And they then watched how different children responded. Reacted.
Yeah.
But the children were hooked up to, like, heart monitors.
Yes.
And she was saying that what they identified was that actually there were those children that the minute their parents walked back into the room, it was like a full display of, like, where, you know, that sort of, like, I'm emotional, I'm sad,
yeah,
I'm angry, you left me, I didn't think you were coming back. And it's you know, it's very visible to see, yeah, that reaction. And they're, yeah, straight to their parents and, you, yeah, know, wanting that. And then she said there were these other children that kind of acknowledged that their parents had walked back in, and sort of did a, oh, hi, you're back. But their heart was going crazy.
Crazy, yeah.
And she was saying that, you know, if we were going to sort of put you into a category like that, that's probably what you did as a child.
Yeah.
You might have felt this kind of, I don't know where my parent is, or I don't know when they're coming, yeah, back, and I feel a bit, but you didn't ever kind of really show that. You just kept that all in and you pushed it down and you were like, I'm fine, everything's okay. And she was, and I think these are the things that I'm beginning to learn about me, and maybe how I handle myself, and then how I handle other people. Mm. And I'm really, and I just, this, I value this hour. Mm. I think this is the thing I'm finding the most. Mm. I sometimes go in there and I don't even go in with any.
No.
Agenda.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm just here, and it's just an hour for me to just maybe unpack, think about, talk about, share, and that's what I'm loving the most. I'm learning a lot. I'm learning a lot about myself. I'm learning about how I handle me and handle other people. But I think the thing I'm loving the most is that time. Just that time, I turn up, I sit in the chair, and I just talk.
Yeah.
And someone who's not a natural thing for me to do.
No.
You know, I mean, I can chat shit. I can chat a lot of shit for a lot.
Yeah, well, we've got 78 episodes that prove
exactly,
that.
Exactly. So I can do all, but anything more than that, and I'm like, no, forget it. I don't want to talk to you about that. So yeah, that's where I am. So I think we're going to carry on up to sort of half term, and then sort of do another little sort of see where we're at, see what, yeah, I want to do. So yes, I'm very much enjoying it and feeling the benefit of doing it for sure.
Amazing.
But what about you, Pats? Because I think you're having a bit of a struggle, are you?
Oh yeah, I mean, I've felt flat probably for I don't know, maybe about a week. I don't really know. Definitely over the weekend, I felt. You know, I feel like, you know, I've shared a lot on here and both on my own social media about the desperation to grow our family and it not happening. And I feel like 40. I don't know. It feels like a bit of a cut-off point, really. Yeah, and a bit of a like. God, I'd never thought I'd be 40 and childless. I never thought that this would be my existence or my life. And
yeah,
if somebody had said to me as a teenager, by the time you're 40, what would your life look like? It wouldn't be this, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And I suppose there's a lot of things for you and I at the moment that feel very much in limbo in terms of, we've got some exciting meetings, but they're just meetings and they don't really mean anything. And you want to have a positive mental attitude, and you want to go into all of that thinking, why shouldn't it be us? Why shouldn't we have these opportunities? We're just as, you know, we're just as capable as the next people. And why shouldn't they want to work with us? But in the back of your head going, don't get too excited.
Yeah.
So this then it becomes like you feel like your life is in this limbo of like, where's my life going to be? And I sort of think, God, this next 12 months, for me, and I suppose for us, could be one of the best of our lives, but could also be one of the most disappointing of our lives.
I know.
And so I feel like I'm stood at this bottom of this mountain, and I'm like, I'm going to either get to the top and have the best view, or I'm going to metaphorically fall and feel not like gutted, like my life's over, but just like, oh God, that didn't work out the way I thought
it would.
And in my logical moments, I can say, yeah, but Ruth, you know, 2 years ago, Ruth, oh, yeah. Ruth 2 years ago, never would have thought we'd actually be reading out ads on this podcast.
I know.
You know, 18 months ago, the listens that we have now,
yeah,
you know, they're not record breaking, but they're pretty good for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got companies now saying we'd like to sponsor your pod, you know. I wouldn't have believed that 18 months ago. I wouldn't have believed that this is the position we've been in. So I feel like the whole of my life, and then I'm just like, yeah, and I'm going to be 40, and I know it's just a number, and everybody just says it's just a number, but there's a certain trajectory that you think your life is going to take, and perhaps I'm not in the place I thought I would be at 40. And
I think, you know, the thing is, Pat, I think everything you are feeling is completely normal.
Yeah.
And I remember feeling exactly the same in the run-up to turning 40. Obviously, you know, in different ways, for different reasons. You know, I was sort of like in this other place where my children were getting older, they needed me less. And then I'm like, okay, well, who the hell am I now? And then, you know, a feeling of just like, just feeling a bit lost, I think.
That's exactly how I feel. I feel totally lost.
Yeah. And I think for you, there's lots of other connections to that around, you know, like you say, not becoming a parent, or not growing your family in the way that you thought would, you know, hoped would be the case. And I think everyone has, but I think it's just, it's almost like these kind of moments come in your life. And I think in a way it's a good thing, because I think it is a point where you can kind of almost do a little bit of a self-evaluation. Okay, so, you know, maybe I'm not where I thought I was going to be, or things haven't happened quite the way I wanted. But actually, this is a point where I can really decide how I want my life to go from this point on, what this year looks like, what 2 years down the line might look like. And I also think I definitely found the run up to turning 40 was horrific. I hated it. I really didn't enjoy it at all. But when I turned 40, I bloody loved it. Because it was almost like, I was like, do you know what? I actually don't give a shit anymore. I'm going to just live my life to the fullest. I'm going to do all the things. And I think that was for me. You know, even though this was like a few years down the line that we started the podcast, I don't think beforehand I would have even been brave enough to do anything like this. And I think there is, as lost as you might feel, and as kind of, like you say, the points of going, oh shit, how is it going to turn out? What's going to happen in this year? I think you've almost kind of got to go, I'm just going to embrace it all. Whatever that's going to look like, whatever this, you know.
And I think, you know, a lot of the time I can do that. A lot of the time in my rational brain, I can go, look, this is, life is a roller coaster. To quote Ronan Keating, you just got to ride it. And I absolutely believe that. Life is a mix of heady highs and awful lows. And my life has shown me that more than anything before. And I look back at the things that I've got through before and I think, God, I didn't think I'd still be standing. You know, I didn't think I'd still be here. And I look back to 2018 to 2019 when my fertility stuff was, I was at the lowest I've ever been. I couldn't look at a pregnant woman. I couldn't be around babies. I've missed out on children people who've had children in my life because I haven't been able to be around. You know, it was bleak. It was really dark. It was awful. And I didn't think I'd come out the other side without kids and be all right. I didn't think I'd ever get there. No. I thought my life was over. So, you know, history tells me that I've got a resilience. It's just in these moments, I'm just like, and then I think, I don't even know what I want to do for my 40th. And then I'm terrified that it's going to come and go and I'm not really going to mark it. And I'm going to regret that. And, you know, I haven't really put anything in motion, and it's in May, like it's not tomorrow, but it's not like end of the year. It's, it's, you know, I've got to make a decision quick. And I sort of want it to pass, but I don't want to look back and go, oh, I wish I hadn't have just let it pass. So I just feel, you know, all of that is bubbling. But, you know, I continue to see Kate, who we've had on the podcast. I continue to see her, and she continues to challenge me and remind me of the things that I've managed. And, you know, and the bottom line is, at points like this, it's just about being kinder to ourselves.
Yeah.
That's it, really.
Yeah, that's absolutely, Pats.
Anyway,
there we go.
We've made it to the end of another episode.
Another one bites the dust.
Yes. We can't sing that because we're contracted to Madness Only now because Pop Scar.
Scar, yeah, sucks because we're going to have socks on, don't we?
Yeah, because it's going to be signed. We've got to be very careful about it. That's all we can do. That's the only music we can play. In fact, Matt Leader, if you're listening, can you redo us a Scar jingle, please?
Well, no, we can get him involved for Pop Scar.
Pop Scar, yeah, Pop Scar.
We'll get him involved for that.
We'll get him involved for that. Anyway, listen, we haven't done a single call to action, but loads of ways that you can get in touch with us. You can find both Ange and I on Instagram. I'm at Ruth Gordon and she's at Ange Gordon.
And you can find us both on Instagram and Facebook. Just search Finding the Funny Podcast.
But that's it. Another episode done. And we'll be back next week helping you to find more of the funny.